May it motivate us to improve our lives, to please you, and to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. When you tall guys come up here, I feel small. I used to be looked down on everybody when I was 6'2". But as I've got older and shrunk, now I look up a lot more than what I did. A whole lot more. How many of you have shrunk since you got older? Huh? Yeah, I think I've probably at least 3 inches. At least that much. But if they stretch me out on the ground, I'm still that long, I guess. Except for my back where it's welded together. They took out some disc in there, so I'm sure I lost a couple of inches or more than that. Every now and then, I get somebody up here to read something in Greek. And I haven't done that for a long, long time. And I'm going to pick on Rebecca tonight, if that's all right with you, Rebecca, to come up here and read 527 in Greek and see how she does here.
Only because I practiced.
Only because you practiced. All right. 527.
Kai exousin exousion idokin altu krisin poyain poti huios anthropu estu.
That's very good. You got an A plus for tonight. All right. Want to do that on Hebrew too, girls and guys? We'll see what we can do. Sharon, do you think you could read Hebrew?
Hebrew, if I could read, because I can understand the words.
All right. All right.
This one's not
Hebrew. Yeah, this is so much like English. This is so much like English. Greek is so familiar. And besides that, it goes from left to right. Hebrew goes from right to left. That's backwards. All right. What would be a chi in Hebrew, by the way? What is chi in Hebrew? Brother Roger? It's easy.
That word right there.
At the end. In Hebrew. All right. And it's, of course, there's all kinds of ends in Greek. But chi exousion edokin autu krisen poiein hoti huios anthropu estin. Almost did as well as Rebecca. And authority. Now, what does this authority mean right here? Because I want to go back and look at that word one more time. That's a beautiful, beautiful word in Greek. All right? Beautiful, beautiful word in Greek.
Power.
What?
Power.
Power. All right.
Subject to nothing.
All right.
Privilege.
Privilege. Faculty. Efficiency. Energy, liberty, license, rule, dominion, jurisdiction, potentate, powers and rights, full power, privilege, prerogative, answering to no one. All right? And authority he gave to him. Judgment to do. All right? It's talking about what? Jesus Christ. He said one time, he said, all authority in heaven and earth. I have all authority in heaven and earth. That's the word right there. And today, who is the authority in this world today? Who is the administrator of God's kingdom? Who has the authority in God's kingdom today? It's not preachers. Who is it? Huh? It's the church. The church. All right. To do because the Son of Man he is. Because he's related to mankind. That's why he has the ability to judge. Jesus lived in flesh just like you and me. He felt every passion, every pain and thing that you have felt in your lives. He's been there. And in Israel, I'll never forget when I went to Israel in 1975 and 76, they had a court there, the Supreme Court in Israel. If somebody was in a lot of trouble, you know what they did? If he lived in a certain Bedouin tribe, they would get the people out of that Bedouin tribe to be his jury and find a judge, a sheikh or whatever, to be his judge. And whatever that they decided, that's what it was. Nobody else. If you were an Orthodox Jew, you were tried like an Orthodox Jew. jury and judge. They were tried by their peers. And of course, we're going to be tried by our peers, by our peer, and that is Jesus Christ. 5:28. And there's so much in these verses. 5:28. Can anybody read that first one? Anybody see, read that first one there? That's a particle of negation, page 268, by the way. May. Thank you. All right. Thamazete. Tuto, that one just looks like it does in English, doesn't it? And then hoti. Erkete. Hora. That's why we get our, that's where we get our word hour. And our word hour is spelled almost like that, except you swallow the H. All right? In. That's where we get our in preposition. Hey. Ponte. Hoi. What's this one? And. Tois. Me, me, ois. Aku, susan. Tais. Phones, altu. Brother Roger, last week did you teach Hebrew and put a little writing on the wall up here?
2 weeks ago.
All right. I thought I recognized that handwriting. Not ye marvel or ye wonder. Don't be struck out of your senses. Don't be traumatized. This, because it comes for itself an hour in which all the ones in the tombs, in the places of memory, is what it literally says, they shall hear. And here is a, that's tais phones. See that word tais phones there? Now, that is genitive or oblative, singular, feminine. In the genitive case, what it would be? What would it be? The idea of genitive is what? The genitive case. There's nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and locative. Okay? 8 cases in Greek. What's the genitive? The case of possession. All right? And what is the oblative? The case of origin. All right? The case of origin. Right here, it could be genitive or oblative, period. It can be either one. When the ones, the dead ones, the ones in graves, they shall hear the voice of him or from him. His voice belongs to him, and it also comes from him, doesn't it? All right? Not ye marvel, 5:28, John 5:28, this because it comes an hour in which all the ones in the tombs or in the graves, the place of memory, they shall hear the voice of him. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, 50 through 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 57. We can't just look over this thing slightly. This is too much. It would be doing a disjustice to this verse if we did that. 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Do you have that Amplified Bible, Rebecca?
Yes.
Can you come up here and read that for me? That ought to be good in Amplified Bible.
I'll read it better in English.
Okay. Better than the Greek?
Yeah.
We're going to have to get you in Hebrew just a little bit.
But I tell you this, brethren, flesh and blood cannot become partakers of external salvation and inherit or share in the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable, that which is decaying, inherit or share with the imperishable, the immortal.
All right, and that's up to 57?
Yeah.
That was that up to?
No, that was just...
Okay, go ahead and read the 57, yeah.
So the whole thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Take notice, I tell you a mystery, a secret truth, an event decreed by the hidden purpose or counsel of God. We shall not fall asleep in death, but we shall all be changed, transformed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call. For a trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, free and immune from decay, and we shall be changed, transformed. For this perishable part of us must put on the imperishable nature, and this mortal part of us, this nature that is capable of dying, must put on immortality, freedom from death. And when this perishable puts on the imperishable, and this that was capable of dying puts on freedom from death, then shall be fulfilled the scripture that says, death is swallowed up, utterly vanquished forever, and it in and unto victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now, sin is the sting of death, and sin exercises its power upon the soul through the abuse of the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. That's beautiful, isn't it? Does it correspond right directly to this 5:28 in John? Sure does, doesn't it? John 11:25-6, Daniel 12:1-2. These are all verses, John 4:21 and 11:24. Remember when that little Jewish girl died and Jesus went to the house there and he said, Talitha kume, made arise. And when Jesus went, after Lazarus had died, he said, Lazarus arise, come forth. And he did. You know, Jesus could have opened up all the graves right then. But that wasn't the purpose at that time. But one of these days, he's going to open up all the graves. One of these days, he's going to open up all the graves to those that are saved. And then 1,000 years later, he's going to open up all the graves to those that are lost. That's a pitiful situation right there. To call, to summon. 5:29. We talk about the two resurrections. The two resurrections. 1,000 years apart. And of course there are actually three resurrections in all reality. Kai ek poron porusonte hoi ta agatha hoiesantes eis anastasin zoes hoi ta bala proxantes eis anastasin chrysios. And they shall come forth, the ones having good works. What kind of good work is that? What is a good work that gets you into heaven? Believing Jesus Christ and repenting of your sins and calling upon Him to save you. Unto the resurrection of life. And to the ones evil, folly, vile, wicked, sorry, and refuse, having done to the resurrection of the judgment. 5:30. Ooh. Dinamai, echo, or ego, that is, poyen, op, emato, udain, kathos, akuo, krino, kai, he, krisis, he, eme, dekai, e, esten, pote, u, zeto, to, thelema, to, imon, ala, to, thelema, to Tempsantos. And not as able I to do from myself, not anything. Just as I hear, I judge, and the judgment, my judgment just it is, because not I seek the will of myself, but the will of the one having sent me. 5:31 now. Eon, ego, maturo, peri, emato, he, maturia, mu, uk, esten, alethes. And if I may witness, and if I may witness, look at that subjunctive mode there. If I may witness concerning myself, the witness of me, not it is true. Alethes. You remember what alethes means? Alethes. It means not, it comes from all and lethe, and or lanthano, all in lanthano. And it means it's not hidden. It's not cryptic. It's not in the shadows. Truth is in the light. When you go to court, the thing that's supposed to happen when they have a trial is that the truth comes out, isn't it? supposed to be. That's what's supposed to happen, but so many times it's hidden. According to how much money you got to buy a judge and a lawyer in this country. You know, I kind of like it back over there in England just a little bit better. Over in England, over here, we've got a bunch of blood-sucking lawyers. We do. And that's the shame of the world. The American justice system is an absolutely no-no black mark in the world. If you go to England, and a lawyer, when he passes the bar, you know what he swears to the king or to the queen? You know what he swears? That he'll never defend a guilty man and ask for a not guilty plea. And that his loyalty will be to justice, not his client. Boy, wouldn't that be, it couldn't, I mean, there's a lot of things, maybe we ought to go back to Mama over there and get some, a little bit of help. Wouldn't that help the system here a little bit?
Well,
huh?
Yeah.
It is not in the shadows. It's true. It's in plain sight. It can be inspected in plain and brilliant sunlight. If you want to really see if there's something in your finger or your foot or whatever, you go outside in the sunlight, in that natural sunlight, and get it in God's light where there's no shadows. You have full light so you can see it. How many of you have ever done that? That's the best place to go. In operating rooms, they got all these mirrors and stuff around there with super bright lights so they can see what they're supposed to be doing. And maybe they'll take care of that real good tomorrow. 5:32. The word witness there is martyr. Was Jesus a martyr? Yeah, he was. Absolutely. Was Paul a martyr? Was Peter a martyr? Were they witnesses? Yes. That's the kind of witnesses we ought to be. 5:32. Alos, estin, ho, maturon, peri, emu, kai, oida, hote, alethe, estin, hei, maturie, hei, maturie, peri, emu. Another, he is the one witnessing concerning me, and I have known that true he is the witness, which he witnesses concerning me. Who's he talking about? Who's Jesus talking about? Who's he talking about?
John.
John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist, what was he? He was a friend of the bridegroom. He went out and called out the bride, didn't he? Who baptized all the early church members? The very first one. John did that. He called them out. In the Old Testament, Eliezer was a type of John the Baptist or a type of the friend of the bridegroom. In the Old Testament, we have that. He didn't look to anyone. And the prophet, he was called one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. Did you know that? John the Baptist was called one of the greatest prophets. There was none greater than John the Baptist. That's what Jesus said. All right. Another, he is the one witnessing concerning me, and I have known that true he is. And the witness which he witnesses concerning me. All right, he's talking about John the Baptist. 5:33 now. We're moving right along here. Himes, apistolakate, pros, iwanein, kai, mi martyrakin. Te aletheia. And ye have been sent out with authority. Ye have been sent out with authority. Look at that word. That word is the word for apostle. Apo and stelo. What does apostle mean? Someone sent out with divine or regal or royal authority. Okay? How much more divine authority does the church have than that authority which is God? He hath been sent out authority to John, and he has witnessed to the truth. All right? Now, the Jews, when the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the Levites or whatever, when they came to John the Baptist, what did he tell them? They wanted to be baptized, didn't they? What did he tell them? Who caused you to flee from the wrath to come? You brood of snakes. In other words, they were sons of the devil. He told them. He could look into their hearts and tell that they were not of God at all. They were false messiahs. They were false prophets. They were false priests. You were sent out with authority to John, and he witnessed to the truth. 534. Ego, Dei, U, Para, Anthropu, Tain, Maturion, Lambano, Allah, Tauta, Lego, Hina, Hemes, Sozete. But I am not from man the witness I receive. But these things I say in order that ye may be what? Saved. Now we've just studied for the last 3 weeks in the book of Exodus, we studied about the election of Israel. And we studied about supralapsarian, we studied about sublapsarian, or infralapsarian and sublapsarianism. There it is again. Supralapsarianism, or superlapsarian, infralapsarian, and sublapsarian. Now, these are Latin words, and they try to describe a certain group of believers. There are two groups in the world of believers. All right? And one school is what? What's the one school of believers?
Calvin and the Armenian guy.
All right. Jacobus Arminius. Well, we have Armenian and we have Calvinistic people. People that... Now, I'm not a follower of Calvin. Okay, but I am people would classify me as a Calvinist. They would classify me as a modified sublapsarian Calvinist. That's what I classify myself as. But supralapsarian, supra means what in Latin? Supra means what? Extreme and beyond. Okay? Way back. And then lapse. What does the word lapse say? What does that word mean in Latin? Fall. Way in the past, in eternity past, before the fall ever happened. What fall?
Eden.
The fall in Eden of Adam. All right? I'll even go back further than that. I'll go back before God ever created man and go back in eternity past when the angels and the spirits fell. Okay? Superlapsarian, someone that believes that election took place way back yonder. There, in eternity past. And it did. But their idea of election is a little stronger than what I like. Tulip. See, this is a review for you people that have a Hebrew class. What does tulip mean? What does the T mean in tulip? Sharon? Total hereditary depravity. Now, a supralapsarian... He's got a different idea of total hereditary depravity than what a sublapsarian thinks. An infralapsarian means that basically at the fall, God provided the what we call election. And then sub means what? After. After the fall, God elected. Okay? That's these three. That's what they mean in Latin. And IAN means one who believes or a group of people who believes that. That's what that's with the etymology of those words. But they don't really mean exactly what they mean in Latin. A supralapsarian believes that everybody is total hereditarily depraved, but some are dead. And God, the supralapsarian believes that God created people to be saved, elected, and another group to be what? Lost or reprobate. What does the word reprobate mean? What reprobate? A-T-E, re, That means those that have denied the faith. Reprobate, one who has denied the faith. Okay? So, God creates people according to superlapsarian. He either creates them to be damned or creates them to be elected. And I don't believe that. Okay? And that's the superlapsarian. Sublapsarian believe that everybody has a chance to believe. And that's what this verse right here says. See, we're going back there because we're going to look at that every now and then. And you're going to learn all about this one of these days. Okay? You and TULIP, what does that stand for? Unconditional election. Unconditional grace. Okay? Is there anything in you that makes God want to save you? Not really. He saves you by the merits of Jesus Christ only. How about the L in TULIP? What does that mean? Anybody remember what L means? Pam?
Limited
atonement. All right. Now, the superlapsarians and the infralapsarians believe that Christ died only for those that will be saved. And His blood only covers those, and that's what we call a limited atonement. Okay? Now we come up to another controversial thing, limited atonement. The sublapsarians believe that Christ died for all man's sins, but it only is efficacious to those that believe. He's not going to save anybody outside of their will. And there's where we run into this word, sotete. The sublapsarians do not believe in limited atonement. How about this I? What does that I mean? Rebecca, you remember what that I means? Brother Roger, remember what I? Dakota, you're taking a test. At least they leave you alone. Brother Mike, how about I? Sharon. Irresistible grace. The superlapsarians believe, matter of fact, the what we call the primitive Baptist, they don't send out missionaries. They don't do anything evangelically at all. You know why? Because they realize in their little minds that if you are going to be saved and you're one of the elect, you're going to get to church. Tornadoes, hailstorms, no storms, nothing's going to stop you. You're going to get to church. And you're going to be saved exactly the day that God has elected for you to be saved. And so they don't have to, nobody has to go get you. Nobody has to witness to you. You're wasting your words witnessing to people if you are a superlapsarian. I don't know how they call themselves even really evangelical. Irresistible grace. Now, this word, sotete, it is second person plural, first aorist, subjunctive passive. We're going to look at that very carefully. Now, P at the end. Do you remember what that word P stands for in TULIP?
Confession of the saints.
Preservation of the saints. That means if you have really been saved, you will be saved forever. Because it's out of your hands. You're eternally saved. If you've called upon the name of the Lord to save you, repented of your sin, you are saved. Does that mean that you won't fall? That you won't sin? No. We still live in flesh, don't we? Anytime you live in flesh, that's got a lot of emotion in it, doesn't it? It's got a lot of feelings in it. It's got a lot of doubts and sin. All of those things in flesh. We live in it, don't we? Jesus lived in flesh, so He understands those things. Now, when you've been saved and the blood has been applied to you, it doesn't mean that your flesh is going to get to go to heaven. In 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, when Rebecca got up here and read that a while ago, it said flesh and blood cannot what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's sinful. We have to lay it down. In the rapture, we'll leave it here. We're going to be changed. We're going to be transformed and translated. All right?
Another question.
Okay.
It's always been my understanding that one of the basic fundamentals of Christianity is the resurrection of the body.
Yes.
But what you're saying is our bodies will be resurrected, been glorified. So it's not going to really be our bodies. They're going to be transformed because they can't go to heaven corruptible.
Our flesh and our blood cannot go to heaven. So it's going to be changed. It's going to look like us. We'll recognize each other and everything. Jesus died. His body went into the grave. And that's the first glorified body we've ever seen. And that's the kind of body we're going to have when we get resurrected or when we get translated. We're going to have a body like that, that can walk through walls. Brother Mike, how would you like to be able to walk through an attic without ever having to open the door or prying it up and getting up there and looking for all those duct work and everything else? Wouldn't that be nice? There's not going to be any attics in heaven, though. No way. How about cellars and crawl spaces? He does air conditioning work, so he's going to have to do all that stuff, you know. Our bodies are going to be supernatural, paranormal. Ye may be saved. Second person plural. How many times do you get saved? And this is first aorist, isn't it? What kind of action is that? Extremely sharp punctiliary action. All right? The passive voice. What does passive voice mean? Well, what does that mean, Rebecca?
Isn't it that it acts upon you?
Yes, all right. Somebody acts upon you. Who saves you? God. All right? Who makes the decision? Subjunctive voice. There's where the volition comes in. The call of God goes out to all men. The call of God goes out to all men, but some hear and some don't hear. Some want to hear and some don't hear. Think about that for a while. Irresistible grace? I had people tell me, as it were, arguing from the superlapsarian, did anybody ever that went saved and went forward, did they ever resist the grace of God? And I said, no. I said, see, there, irresistible grace. But I have seen people resist the grace of God. Have you not? Resist the grace of God? Well, Mike, you've seen people resist the grace of God? Sure. They hear the Word of God and they go off. And they just do what they want to do. Make a God of their own making. They even get religious sometimes. But not God's way. So, junkie boy. Right? All of this is in that one word. So, they think. Tulip is there. Supra, infra, and sublapsarianism is in that, and you'll get the right way. Sharon.
Okay, you're talking about resisting the grace of God. There's the saving grace, and then there's the sustaining grace, I guess.
Well, it's the saving grace, and it also sustains you.
Okay, because as a Christian, we all know we sin.
Yes. That's evident, isn't it? Well, wait a minute now. I have been in Pentecostal churches. Well, I've seen people stood up and said for 20 years they hadn't sinned. Of course, they were lying at that moment. You know that they've been lying right through their teeth right then, okay? You know, they're living above sin. I don't believe that business. It's not possible.
Irritated. You know, I mean, I do.
Yeah. Just when you realize what sin is.
So we do resist God.
Well, that's the saved part of you.
Yeah. I mean, that's
have you ever had, a guy was preaching to a bunch of Indians one time and asked this old Indian medicine man. I asked him, he said, they were talking about the two natures of saved. And they said, do you understand this class, that what I was teaching about the two natures of saved? And he said, yep. He said, well, explain it to me. He said, like two dogs living in the same house. The one you feed the most is going to be the strongest. You know, that's the way it is. The one you feed the most is going to be the strongest. You want to be a weak Christian? Feed to the flesh. All right? Can a person do that? Lot did it. Look at that rascal. Demas in the New Testament. Did he go astray one time? Demas? That was Paul's helper, Mark's helper. And Mark went astray, didn't he? Mark, the writer of the gospel, he went astray. But what happened? He came back. They all came back. They came back. Why? The Holy Spirit wouldn't leave them alone. Because they were gods. When you're gods, you can't do your own thing. Not possible. The Lord's not going to leave you alone. I was saved in 1960. 61, actually. Early 61. And I did not live like I was supposed to live all my life. I can guarantee you that. But you know what? When the Lord put His hand on me right now, there, He never took it off. Never. And I knew He was there with me all the time. At the time, I ain't tried to be an atheist. Didn't work either, you know. I mean, well, that's what they told me in school, you know. That we believed in evolution and all that kind of hogwash. Well, it didn't work out in my head. You know why? Because the Spirit of God was in me trying to lead me the right direction all the time. Had a lot of rough things happen in my life, but the Lord's always been there. The Lord's always been there. And the Lord will bring you through if it's His purpose to go. You're going to run the race until you go to the end of your race. I remember Brother Soul, one of my students, he was from Korea. He took out 5 years out of his life, straight A student in the seminary, and I was his teacher in Greek and Hebrew. And that guy knew every language under the sun. I really mean that. He did. He could write any language up on the board. All of the Eastern languages. He could tell you Japanese, Korean, and all the dialects of Chinese and everything else. Just write them up there and tell you whatever root of everything did. And I was teaching him Greek and Hebrew. What a joke. He went back to the, he was going to, his whole goal was to start a seminary in Korea. And he was going to be the head of the seminary. And boy, he would have been a good one. He went back there for about 6 months and dropped dead. Boom. And I thought, for years, 20 years, I looked upon him and I said, Lord, what's wrong with you? You know, I just kept questioning the Lord. Why did you let this happen? He had a stroke. That man, how many of you have seen Brother Abe in my class? He's actually here, not here, but he takes his class, you know, at home. Because he's in choir. All those people over there in Korea, when they all join the military, and every one of them are black belt. And they're all bodybuilders, basically. And that's the way Brother Soul was. I mean, he was like iron. He'd get up and preach for me, and I thought he was going to tear my pulpit into splinters. Bam! Bam! You know, he would walk in the pulpit with bare feet. Never walk into holy ground with his shoes on, you know. 6 months, and he died. And I don't know, but his son came back and I got to teach his son. He was not as brilliant as his father, but he was brilliant too. One day, finally, I was looking at this little plate he gave me with tears coming down my eyes. I said, Lord, I don't understand what happened here. And I read about Abraham. I read about Isaac and read about Jacob. And I realized that man had finished his race. He finished it. His race was run. That was it. He was at the end. He was at the finish line. And he gave us, everybody in the seminary, we got one thing. The idea of what perfection is like. And to see that man stay away from his family for 5 solid years, never saw his children or his wife for 5 years. And worked all summer long, taking seminary extension classes and whatever. Never, ever. That's all he did for 5 years was this intense study. And he had his doctor's degree. Got his PhD and actually earned his Doctor of Bible Languages. I think we were the last two to ever earn that. He finished his race. Finished it. He was a great Baptist, a great Christian, and a great man of God, and he finished his race. And then I was satisfied with that. He finished his race. Martin Canavan, like 53 years old, one of the greatest preachers I ever heard, and died with heart trouble at 53 years old. He finished his race. How long is that race? It's your race. You have your own race. It might be 90 years. It might be 50 years. It might be 30 years. It might be 20 years. Whatever that race is. What are we supposed to be doing all the time? Found faithful. Found faithful. Brother Martin Canavan, he'd go in the hospital for arrhythmia and congestive heart failure and heart attacks. He'd get right out of intensive care and have his wife drive him to the seminary and walk in there and teach his classes. Because that's what he lived for. That's a real good example. That's what you call, Randall called it what? High standards. Real high standards. Real high standards. That's the kind of standards. Of course, we all look to Jesus. That's a real high standard, isn't it? We'll never meet that. But sometimes our teachers, we can look to them for high standards. Even in their mistakes, you can look for them in your high standards. Ekinos 5:35. Ein, ho, lachnos, ho, kai omenos, kai, phonon, or phainon, himes, de, ethelethasate, agaliathene, pros, horon, en, to, fote, how to. That one kept on being the lamp, the torch. That word, look at that word, the lachnos. The lamp or torch. The lamp or the torch. And at this period of time, this was a bright lamp. Remember the Greek and the Roman theaters? They would have torches down there, but behind the torches, what would they have? Mirrors polished so bright that they would reflect the light, and they could aim the light. I remember when I was a little boy, that's a long time ago, by the way. When I was a little boy, I see these searchlights in the heavens. How many of you ever got on one of those big lights and looked at them? Mm-hmm. Anybody here? How many of you haven't? There's light in there, isn't there? There's fire. It's fire. And that fire is reflected by all of these mirrors in there. And I mean, it'll just shoot through the sky very bright. That's what this is. That's kind of light. A very bright light with a mirror behind it. The lamp. The one burning. Kaiomenos. The one burning. Constantly burning. And shining, finon, shining. That's your reflector right there. And ye were willing. You had actually become willing at some point of time. First error, see that? All right. You had become willing at some point of time to be exalted or to exalt for an hour in that light of Him. What light are they talking about? What is this light? What's the subject? John the Baptist. Did Israel go and listen to John the Baptist? Did they accept him as a prophet of God? Yes. We read Gamaliel's letter, which, when was that? A couple of weeks ago? Was it in this class? No, it was on Sunday morning. I read Gamaliel's letter. Gamaliel's letter to the Sanhedrin court. And what Gamaliel says, I believe that Jesus, son of Mary and Joseph, is without doubt the Messiah. And this is before his public ministry and his miracles were ever performed. That's Gamaliel's advice to the Sanhedrin. Okay? And Paul the Apostle was a student of who? Gamaliel. What does Gamaliel mean? Gamaliel.
Gift.
Huh? That's right. The word camel comes from that. And a camel is a gift of God. It doesn't go a long time without water or anything else. It's a gift of God. Every time you say a camel, just think gift of God right there. Gamaliel means gift of God. And when Jesus did his miracles, he proved that he was a Messiah. They already had, the evidence had already elected him to be Messiah, but his miracles proved him to be the Messiah. Now, this shining light that John the Baptist was, they accepted that shining light. What did he act like? What did he preach like? How many of you remember what he preached like?
He taught like the old prophet.
Yeah, what did he do? Stand out in the wilderness, and what did he do? He brayed like a donkey. How many of you ever heard a donkey bray? You can hear them for miles. They're loud. Like a cow or a bull bellowing. You can hear a bull or a cow bellowing for miles and miles. They used to call those donkeys out there in the desert, they called them desert canaries. Desert canaries. You could hear them all over. He brayed and bellowed and preached like a donkey bellowing out there in the wilderness in the desert. You'd be surprised what all took place out in the desert. Jesus' temptation took place out in the desert. John's Baptist preaching took place out in the Baptist a lot. And then he had become willing to exalt him and to give him praise for a while in that light, in the light of him. Rebecca, do you have your Amplified open? Could you read the last three verses of that for me up here? 33 through 35.
You yourselves have sent an inquiry to John. Is that my number at the top?
Yes.
Okay. You yourselves have sent an inquiry to John, and he has been a witness to the truth. But I do not receive a mere human witness. The evidence which I accept on my behalf is not from man. But I simply mention all these things in order that you may be saved, may be kept safe and sound. John was the lamp that kept on burning and shining to show you the way, and you were willing for a while to delight to spend yourselves in his light.
All right. Who's he speaking to here? Those unbelieving Jews. I had somebody ask me on Sunday morning the other day, should we stand behind Israel or not as a nation? And I said, well, the Bible says he that curses Israel gets cursed, and he that blesses Israel gets blessed. But I said, he doesn't need America. They got Jehovah. But there's only one problem right now. They're living in rebellion. Just like it says here. He's got to half kill them. He's got to kill two-thirds of them before he can finally get their attention. There's no way you can stop that. It's going to happen. Two-thirds of them are going to die. Of course, five-sixths of the rest of the world is going to die. But he's going to get their attention there. He will get their attention. And there's nothing we have to do to protect them. There's nothing that Roger can do. He can get one of them helicopters and go over there and fight for them and everything like that, but it doesn't matter. Who's going to do the real fighting? Jehovah's going to do the fighting. But it won't be. He won't fight for them until they say, blessed and holy is he that came in the name of the Lord. And they're not ready for that yet. They're not ready for it. Okay? Well, they listened to John the Baptist for a while. 5 and verse 36 now. Ego, they echo. Pain, materion, meso, tu, ewanu, ta, gar, erga, ha, dedokin, moi, hoi, ho, pater, hina, teluso, alta, alta, ta, erga, ha, poyo, mature, Perry, at the end of it? Nope. Emu, hote, ho, pater, me, apestalaken. But I have the witness greater beyond John, supra, beyond, meso. See that word meso there? That's a comparative. That's like supra in Latin. Way beyond John. I have a witness that's greater than John the Baptist. For the works which he has given to me, the Father. Remember what I said a while ago? Gamaliel had already written a letter to the Sanhedrin court saying that Jesus, he believed, was the Messiah. And as far as he was concerned, that was his opinion. With all the evidence. And he investigated. He talked to Joseph. He talked to Mary. He talked to Lazarus. He talked to Mary, and he talked to Martha. And that was friends of Jesus long before he began his public ministry. And he said, I really believe that he's the Messiah. And then he began his ministry to prove that he was the Messiah. He said, now, John the Baptist said I was the Messiah. He said, behold the what? The Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Okay? But Jesus did miracles to prove that he was Messiah. These were his messianic credentials and the God sample case of millennial blessings. That's the way God's going to take care of the whole world during the millennium. The Father, in order that I may finish them, themselves, the works which I do, witness concerning, the works witness, each work witness concerning of me, because the Father of me, he has sent with authority. See that? With all authority. The continuance of this authority. Verse number 37 now. 37. Kai, ho, hemsah, me, pater, ekinos, memartereken, peri, mu, hote, phonain, altu, popote, akuakate, ute, eidos, altu, urakate. And the one having sent me, the Father, that one he has witnessed concerning me, neither the voice of him, never ye have heard. Until when? When was the first time they ever heard the voice of God? Remember? Rabbi, can you remember when that was? When did they hear the voice of God the Father? When Jesus was baptized. Okay, they heard the voice of God the Father in the heaven. They saw the Son. And they saw something that looked like a dove coming light on Jesus, which typified, this is what we call a theophany, a condescension. When God condescends to mankind so they can see the triune God all in Christ. Okay? Ye have heard, nor the form of him ye have seen. The form of him you have seen. That look at that word. Ake ka ate. That second person plural. Second perfect. That's second perfect. Indicative active. And that's attic. What's attic? What does attic mean? A-T-T. Brother Randall?
Old.
That's old. But where does it come from? What's the word attic come from? Athens. This is an Athenian word from Athens. These from those Spartans. All right, remember when the Spartans and the Athenians got together and whooped that Persian Empire? They were outnumbered about 3-5-1, and they whooped them anyway because of sheer guts and strategy. Ye have seen. That's an old Attic word. In Mark 1:11 and 9:7 and 12:28, 1 John 5:9-10. Also, God gives a witness to all of us in our hearts, doesn't he? That we are saved. And that we are his. And that we are sealed. In 1 John 5:9-10. Penny, can you bring that Amplified Bible up here and read 36 and 37 for me? Can you do that? Then we're going to go over there to 1 John 5, 9, and 10. Can you look that one up for me, Rebecca? 1 John 5, 9, and 10.
But I have as my witness something greater, weightier, higher, and better than that of John. For the works that my Father has appointed me to accomplish and finish, the very same works that I am now doing, are a witness and proof that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. Not one of you has ever given ear to his voice or seen his form, his face, or what he is like. You have always been blind to his voice and blind to the vision of him.
All right. And Rebecca, do you have 1 John 5, 9, and 10? 1 John 5, 9, and 10.
If we accept as we do the testimony of men, if we are willing to take human authority, the testimony of God is greater, of stronger authority. For this is the testimony of God, even the witness which he has borne regarding his Son. He who believes in the Son of God, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him, has the testimony, possesses this divine attestation within himself. He who does not believe God in this way, he has made him out to be and represented him as a liar, because he has not believed or put his faith in, adhered to, and relied on the evidence, the testimony that God has borne regarding his Son.
All right, so if you don't believe in the Son, John, in 1 John, is telling the same story that he is over there in John, the 5th chapter. And what's he saying to him? You're calling God a liar. And who did they attribute these miracles to? Beelzebub or Satan. That's not the Father, not the Holy Spirit, but it's Satan doing these miracles. Well, we went from 5:27 to 36. We'll start off on verse number 38. What is the date today? The 11th. 12/11/13. That's almost a little backwards there. 12/11/13 should be 11/12/13. I guess we had that last month, didn't we? All right. Do you have any questions? You have any questions, Mike? You have any questions, Sharon? This is a pretty straightforward lesson, wasn't it? Pretty straightforward. Nothing to guess about this. The witness, that's the title of the message, the witness. Randall, if you want to put that down, it's the witness. The witness, yeah. The witness. Well, we'll get started there next week. And if the Lord spares me, and I can stand up or sit on here on the chair, one or the other, I guess I'm going to be walking around with a big boot on my foot for a week or two. He said about 2 weeks. Hopefully I'll be healed up by then. I'll put some extra good healing powder on there or something. Cream or something or other. Who wants to dismiss us in prayer tonight? Sharon in the back, you haven't been up here for a while, have you?
I have, but
oh, okay.
My Christmas shirt on.
Yes, you do. That's why I had to come up here so you could show off that Christmas shirt.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for your living word, that every time we read it, it means something different to us.